Church, good morning. Feeling okay? Cool. Well, I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning, mostly because the last time that I was here and I taught, I was given a 5-minute heads up. I was in the back and the live feed wasn't working and Ryan Ferguson walked up and he said, "Hey, didn't you preach last night to the students?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "What was it on?" I was like, "James chapter 2." He's like, "Well, you're on." I was like, "Oh, okay." So it's actually really nice to be standing before you knowing that I was going to be teaching and have a little heads up. So excited to be with you guys because, like Greg, a lot of my time is spent at the Taylor's campus, so I don't get out to Northwest a lot. It's always fun to teach and also hear my 4-year-old screaming at the same time. That's kind of fun. It spices things up, but we're kind of used to that. So if you have God's Word, open up to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is where we're going to be hanging out on the last day of 2017, and we're going to be looking at the first chapter in Psalm. And in the Psalms, I cannot think of a better chapter for us to look at as we embark on a brand new calendar year. I can't think of anything more appropriate for us to fix our gaze on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, but as we look to his word, as I've been studying this, preparing this for us this morning, it's been such an encouragement. It's been challenging me in so many ways to view 2018 just a little bit different. Also, I hope that you were able to grab one of these when you came in. If not, if you want to slip up your hand, someone will get you this piece of paper. See you, Henry. What I would love for you guys to do is there's some questions on here that I would love for you, maybe by yourself or with your family or with some friends, answer. And to answer it in such a way that you're thinking new calendar year. You're thinking, okay, what is it that I need to be asking myself and what is it that I need to be pondering from this chapter of Scripture? And so the first question is, what's my one big takeaway? Ask the Spirit, God, what is it you have for me this morning from your word that you want me to be challenged in, that you want me possibly to be rebuked in? We know it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So God, what is it that I need to be considering as a follower of Jesus? What's that one big thing? And for all of us in this room, it might be a little different. And you can share it with each other later. You might be sitting in your seat and 10 minutes in, you know what it is the Spirit wants to reveal to you. So that's question number one. Question number two, this one's my favorite. What am I going to do about it? Okay, so it's good to come and hear God's word, and it's good to know things that the Spirit kind of reveals to you. But as we meditate on God's word, it goes from theory to action. And so question number two, I love this, the execution part. What am I going to do about it? Number three, who do I need to share that with? So as you're listening to God's word, some of these questions we need to be considering is, okay, God, you're doing this work in my heart. This is what it's going to look like. Well, who do I need to share this with possibly? And then number four, how can I commit this to prayer? Who are some other people that maybe I can share this with that can be praying for me, interceding on my behalf? And then here's the challenge, okay? You're going to answer these questions and consider these things. And the challenge I have for you is to memorize the entire chapter. And you're like, what? Well, I have good news. It's only 6 verses. Anyone can memorize 6 verses. When I woke up this morning, Rachel was like, what are you preaching on again? And I tried to quote it from memory, and I think I got 4 verses in, and I got all confused and messed up. But that challenge is still going to be true for me to memorize Psalm 1. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump right in. Verse 1, chapter 1 says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's Psalm 1. Pray with me. God, this morning we want to look to your word that gives hope and life. God, we just want to just sit back and soak in your word. God, I know that there is so much going on with Christmas ending. Today's last day of 2017. We have New Year's Eve. Jumping back into work and the flow and kind of the rat race. And God, I pray that you would just calm our hearts. God, would your Holy Spirit just move in this room in a thick way and move in our hearts? God, would you give us that one thing that you want us to take today from your word? God, would you help us to know what that needs to tangibly look like in our lives? Possibly who we need to share it with and how we can soak this in prayer. God, I'm excited to be in front of my brothers and my sisters this morning. And God, I know that it's no thing to take lightly when I'm preaching your word. God, grow my fear of you. Holy Spirit, speak through me. May it be your words, not mine. We love you. We commit the next few minutes to you. And all of God's people say, amen. Okay, so what I want to do is, because it's six verses, I have the luxury of just kind of going verse by verse. We're even going to look at specific word by word on what I think David is wanting us to take from Psalm 1. One of the things that I like, that the first three verses in the chapter starts with is no, no, no. It's almost like I'm with my kids. If I had a dollar for every time I say no, don't touch that, or stop, I would be a very rich man. Like, no, Judah, no, Judah, no, Levi, no, Judah, don't hit your brother. Like, it's just a lot of no's. Why? Because I love my kids. If I didn't love my kids, if I was a really lazy, apathetic father, I probably wouldn't say that word a lot. I would probably just let them do whatever. Anything that you commit to, anything that you say yes to, there's going to be a huge list of no's. For some of us, maybe we have that New Year's resolution that's going to last for 2.5 weeks, and you're like, ah, forget it. But it, whatever that resolution is, whatever you're saying yes to, there's going to be a lot of no's. So if you're in here and you're like, you know what? I'm going to lose 15 pounds. Well, that's an awesome resolution, but guess what? You're going to have to say no to that chocolate cake tonight. It's not a good thing. It's not an easy thing. Anything that you commit a yes to, there's going to be a lot of no's. There's going to be some structure. There's going to be some things that you have to have self-control in. You have to be disciplined in. And so I love that you're going to see in verse 1 a bunch of no's, but then it kind of transitions into a lot of yeses. What you're saying no to, eventually there's something that you can say yes to. And so I love that it says, blessed is the man. Everyone say the word blessed. Blessed. Yeah, some translations, it's happy. Happy is the man. And so you have God's word that's coming to you, and he's showing you two ways that you can live. I love my boss, Pastor Alan Bunn. A lot of you guys know him. His language he uses to me all the time is, hey, Tim, two kinds of people. And I'm like, what does that mean? What are those two? Am I being the person you want? Like, what does that mean? Tim, there's two kinds of leaders. And I love that David is doing that here in Psalm 1. There's two types of people. And I do think it's interesting that it starts off saying, blessed is the man, or happy is the man. I'll tell you what, the more time that I spend with people who don't claim Jesus or don't follow Jesus, if you ask them, like, what's one thing that you're pursuing? Like, what is success to you? They'll probably fall on, I just want to be happy. Like, I just want to live a good life. I just want to have, you know, some laughs here and there, be comfortable, but at the end of the day, I want to be happy. But I think it's funny that David, in God's word, is saying, if you want to be fulfilled, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, then look at these words. It says, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So let's kind of break that down. Let's look at the opposite of what this looks like. So, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Like, God's word is saying, who is your counsel? If you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, you need to look at what is impacting you, what is influencing you. Where do you run for your guidance? Where do you run to be counseled? And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I'm not really walking in wicked counsel. But the flip side to that could be you're not walking in any counsel. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're too prideful. Man, I know, like, when I think, am I being counseled? Like, we immediately think of, like, you need counseling. And I love being a part of a church body that getting counseling is just a normal routine thing. Like, growing up, if I was going to counseling, like, I didn't tell anyone. Like, if I had to say, no, I can't hang out with you, I have to go to counseling, they were like, what's wrong with you? Everything okay? Yeah, Rachel and I are just going to marriage counseling. Oh, marriage on the rocks. Right? It's like a lot of people kind of view it in a negative term, but man, how great is it that we're a part of a church body where that's just kind of normal? It's a good thing to have this be a part of your life. And so really ask yourself the question, if God's word says blessed is the man or happy is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, then what does that look like for you? Maybe you are walking in unwise counsel. And that might look like at 10 o'clock at night, whatever you're looking at on your computer is wicked. It's counseling you. It's influencing you. It's pouring into you in a negative way. Or maybe you're just not walking in any of it. Growing up, I always heard, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So to think, man, if you're too busy to be getting coffee once a month with that older mentor, or to have those people that are pouring into you that wisdom, God's word says that you're blessed to do so. And then it says, nor stands in the way of sinners. And so now we've got scripture saying, who is it that you stand in the shadows of? Who is it that you now are standing with? And two things with this. Number one, there's a difference between having friends who aren't in Jesus. Like, we know that scripture says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. We are to be salt and light in this world. We are to pursue those who don't know Jesus. But there's a difference between standing with those that you are now in their shadow. They're kind of your friends. Like, yeah, Jesus went out into the world, but at the end of the day, he came back to those 12 disciples. Like, he knew who his key group was. And so we see walking, unwise counsel. Now we see standing in the path of sinners. And then it ends with, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. That word is kind of a Christianese word. You don't hear a lot of people say scoffers. That word is just really to mean people who are unpleasant, people who are always mocking, people who are always negative. And I got to tell you, my job is I work with middle and high school students, And it's the popular thing to be negative. It's easy to be negative. I'll tell you what, like, and sometimes it's nice to be around that. It's weird how we just kind of, like, we gravitate towards being negative. It's really hard to be positive, always griping and complaining. So I think it's interesting that it starts off with saying, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So it's interesting that God's word is saying to be happy, walk with wise counsel. Walk with people who love Jesus, who hold you accountable, who know your life. And that seems kind of miserable. And sometimes it is. Rachel and I were in a life group like 2-3 years ago with Ryan Ferguson, Alan Shear, Jason Bursch, and one other elder. And it was like, oh my goodness, if this is walking with wise counsel, like I can't get away with anything. Like Rachel would share things and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna lose my job. Just kind of smiling like, oh no. Like when you get that accountability, it's hard. But God's word is saying, happy is the man who has that. Happy is the man who chooses wise friends. Happy is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners or in their shadows or doesn't sit at the seat of complaining. I'll tell you what, you turn on social media, it's like negativity, negativity, negativity. It's like negativity is all around us. So God's word is saying you have to fight for it. And I love the physical progression that we're seeing here. Do you notice it? It goes from walking to standing to sitting. Like I said, my two boys are kind of my life right now, my four-year-old and my one-year-old. They are nonstop running. They are nonstop all over the place. We took them to Taco Bell last night, and I was embarrassed in a Taco Bell because my kids were playing chase. It's like we're trying to teach them the appropriate places where chasing each other is okay, and then it's not okay in certain places. They're just wild. They're all over the place. But here's what's so funny about my kids who are super active. If you turn on the television and a theme song comes on, they go. And then they just sit. And you're like, oh my goodness, Doc McStuffins. You got my kid to go from walking to standing, and they're sitting and they're doing it quietly. Like, that's amazing. But this progression in Scripture is not a good thing. Like, some of you guys, if we were to look back at your life 5 years ago, you were walking with the Lord. And then somewhere along the way, something grabbed your attention and it caused you to go from walking to standing, and you fixed your eyes or your gaze on something else. And now some of you guys are just sitting. And so ask the Spirit, have I fallen into that physical progression? Because there's nothing better than the opposite, right? Like when Levi, all he could do was lie down or sit. And then like that day when Levi stood up, we're like, oh my goodness, he's standing. He just went from sitting to standing. We all have our phones out. We got it on Instagram. And then when he takes that first step, what do we all do? We're celebrating that. That's a good thing when you see an infant go from sitting to standing and then walking. That's awesome. Then you got to childproof the heck out of that house. So pay attention to that physical progression and ask yourself, what does that look like for me? Happy is the man who walks in wise counsel, who doesn't stand in the shadow of people who don't fear God, and people who don't gripe and complain all the time. Got that? Kind of makes sense? And then I love this. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Everyone say the word delight. Good. What is it you delight in? Like, what is it that makes you happy? What is it that when you delight in something, you think about it all the time? And ask yourself, like, is that something that I delight in that is here today and gone tomorrow? Like, some of us, we delight in things that is going to really devastate you. Like, I've got some friends right now that their delight is in the law of Bitcoin. Anyone ever heard of Bitcoin? It's like cryptocurrency. If not, you've been living under a rock. It's really weird. It makes no sense. It's like, I'm going to try my best. Like, you have to go online and do these mathematical equations, and then it equals cryptocurrency, which equals something called a Bitcoin, which is like money that the government can't trace. And it's really weird. And if you know more about it, I'd like to talk to you. But I'm kind of fascinated by it. But I have friends who are like all in. I mean, dropping thousands of dollars on this cryptocurrency money stuff. And like last month, it was like super high. It was like if you bought a Bitcoin 5 years ago, well, that one Bitcoin's like $19,000 or something. And I'll tell you what, these friends who are normally really negative were like on cloud nine. But then like Bitcoin last week took a huge crash, and now I think it's worth like a dollar or something. And it's like now they were super happy, and now they're like super depressed. But it's interesting that some of these people, their delight was in money. Like their delight was in other things. So here's what's really interesting. When David was writing this, David only had the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. His delight was in Leviticus. When's the last time someone's like, man, I am so thankful for all the laws that were in Leviticus. My delight is in the book of Numbers. But how much more blessed are we that we have all 66 books that our delight can be in? Like, is your delight in the Word of God? Because this is a means to an end. Like, when your delight is in God's Word, like, you know it's a mean towards an end, and our reward is Jesus, so your delight is that. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but fulfill the law. Like, Jesus is our delight. Our delight should be in Jesus, and we meditate on it day and night. And I love that word, meditate. It's not like, when I hear meditate, I think of like, like empty yourself. Meditate on nothing. No, a biblical sense of meditation is to fill yourself with God's Word and then ponder it. And to ponder it. Here's something I want you guys to be challenged with when it says, and his delight is in God's law, and on that he meditates day and night. That word meditate, like what I love about that is to kind of step back and ask yourself, in order to meditate on something, I've got to slow down. In order to meditate on this, I've got to work slowly through it. I have an older brother. His name is Matt. He's the fastest, nastiest eater on the planet. Like when Matt eats, and he's super skinny, well, not anymore, but he was growing up, unbelievably athletic. I was kind of more the artsy kid playing drums. I didn't really care that much about sports. But when Matt ate, it was so fast. Sometimes I would stop just to watch Matt eat. It was like, is he even tasting his food? And he would take huge bites. And if you tried to talk to him, he couldn't. Because his mouth, he looked like a squirrel, like with all these nuts. Like, it was just crazy. And so all the time I heard my parents be like, Matt, slow down. Matt, slow down. And so it's funny to like look at that illustration and say, Matt, slow down. But almost when I think of the word meditate, it causes us to slow down. It's hard to meditate on something when you're going 1,000 miles an hour, right? In the band that I used to travel with, our worship guy, our leader, his name was Aaron Keyes, and he would teach us how to meditate through scripture and music at the same time. And it was really cool. And it's stuff that I still do in my life today. So a few months ago, I was super anxious about something. And I remember falling asleep. If you're looking for a really great worship song right now, that's just, it's on repeat on our Spotify, is Christine DeMarco. And the song is I Am No Victim. And it is my jam right now. But I remember my heart was really anxious about something. I was super overwhelmed. So when I went to bed, I put my phone on my chest and I pressed play and I put it on repeat and I just fell asleep. And I would wake up at 2 in the morning and I would hear a verse and I would say, oh, that's good. I'm just going to focus on that one verse. And I would kind of fall back to sleep. Then I'd wake up maybe an hour later and hear the bridge. And I would think, man, that's good. And I would play it back to myself throughout the day. We do this in one way, or another. So sometimes, like if Rachel and I get into an argument, I'm not very quick on my feet. So we're arguing, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't really know how to navigate through it. But when I get in the car and I'm driving away, I'm like, oh, I should have said that. That would have been good if I just would have came back with that witty comment. But sometimes I play it in my mind throughout the day. Like if something was super embarrassing to you, what do? It is over and over and over in our minds. We're like meditating on it. And you have to get it out. God's word is saying his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his word, he meditates day and night. Is that true for you? What is it you meditate on? Maybe you meditate on the negative. And you just think about it all the time. You're saying negative things back to yourself. Yeah, you are a failure. Man, you are a loser. Like, what is it you think of? What is it you ponder? Do you go 1,000 miles an hour? Maybe you need to slow down. In order to meditate, in order for this to be true for you, you have to slow down. And remember, whatever it is that you say yes to, you're going to have to say no to a lot of other things. And so maybe that's something you need to consider for 2018 is the world is going to tell you more, more, more. Go, go. Do, do, do. And I get it. Like, I'm that kind of person. When I wake up, I got to be productive. I got to get things done. I think that's what's so hard right now about being a parent is I'll be working and my son will walk up and say, Daddy, come on. I'm like, okay, where? I want to swing. You're like, ugh. Swing. Why? Because it makes me just go outside and go. That's all. And I'm like, this is not, I'm not being productive. I've got to do something. But I love that my kids sometimes cause, like, it makes me slow down. And it just makes me go to a backyard where it's quiet and I just push my kids. That's good. Okay, let's continue in this chapter. How am I doing on my time? Oh, good. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaves do not wither. So I love this. Now Scripture is showing us this analogy, this picture of what this equals. I love that God's word is saying he is like a tree planted. Everyone say the word planted. I love that it doesn't really say he's like a tree that grew by streams of water. He is like a tree that just got lucky in a really good geographical place and started to grow. No, it says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. And I love that that is what being in Jesus does. It uproots us from where we used to be, from what we were, and it gave us a new geographical location. It gave us a new identity. It's giving us different nutrients. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. And I love that it uses this analogy that we can be like a tree in a really good place, getting really good nutrients so we can be super strong, grow really high, produce fruit. And I'll tell you what, trees are strong. I remember, I think it was like 3-4 years ago, right outside our neighborhood, someone was telling me about a crash or this accident that happened where this car went off the road and hit a tree. And I thought I was going to go and see this destruction and there was going to be knocked over trees. But I got there and I was like, okay, there's the car. What tree did it hit? They were like, that one. I was like, that one? That tree doesn't even look like it was touched. I mean, that tree owned that car. I mean, trees are unbelievably strong, the way that they're rooted, how they go down, how they go out. And that's what God's word is saying. Not only will you be happy, will you be blessed if your delight is in the law of the Lord, but he's saying you will prosper, you will be strong. It says he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Trees also produce things. There's nothing worse than a weak, puny tree. We planted one in our backyard like 4 years ago, and that sucker is weak and puny, and it doesn't really produce much. It's just there. It takes up space. And I think it's funny that if we were to look at certain people who are following Jesus, what kind of tree are you? Like, is that true for you, that you are a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons, its leaves do not wither? Here's another thing that I love about that word planted. There's a type of permanency there. A strong tree, it's permanent. That sucker is not moving. Like, are you someone that can be true for you going into 2018? My personality, if you guys know me at all, I really struggle with people who are wishy-washy, who are not very consistent, who are not very permanent. You wear a New York Yankees hat 1 week, and then you got a San Francisco Giant hat on, and you have the Atlanta Braves the next week. Like, even that small stuff will drive me crazy. Either you pull for the Braves or you don't. We're in or we're out. There's no riding the fence here. Like, my favorite band is my favorite band. You're going to know that I love Five Iron Frenzy, this band out of Denver, Colorado. They're my favorite band. Like, there's nothing that's also true about that's so discouraging for me as someone who works for the church and that shepherds God's people when I don't see a type of permanency in you following Jesus. You're wishy-washy. You're all over the place. Like, 1 week, it's like you're super Christian, and then the next, it's like you're not. It's just like this bipolar faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Are there valleys? Is there the wilderness? Are there hills in following Jesus? Yes. But God's word is saying, blessed is the man. Happy is the man. You're like a tree that's planted by streams of water. There's a permanency there. Is that true of you? Are you sowing that there's that consistency in following Jesus? Like, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get. And then I love that it says this, in all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. Everyone say the word prospers. So I love that I've kind of called this sermon the two ways. Right? Remember Alan Bunn? Hey, there's two kinds of people. So I think it's interesting that Psalm 1 starts with the word blessed, and then we're going to see that the last word is the word perish. Perish. But what does that word prosper mean? In all he does, he prospers. And so if I start a business, that means I'm going to prosper in that business, right? I'm going to make lots of money. I'm never going to have a hard day. It's going to be great. I'm going to have lots of sales. And all I do, I prosper, right? Well, no, this isn't to be confused with the prosperity gospel. Like, if you follow Jesus, you're never going to be sick. If you follow Jesus, you're going to have really nice cars and really nice money, lots of money and really nice homes. Like, no, that's not what this means. What it's saying is, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of knowing that this world is not the way it's supposed to be, in our hearts, we're still prospering. And I want to encourage you. You might think that 2017 was a bummer year. You might think that you didn't really advance in your career like you wanted. Or who knows what lies the enemy is wanting you to swallow. But if you're in Jesus, you prosper. If you're in Jesus, you win. Why? Because you're a co-heir with Christ. Why? Because Jesus saved you from your sins. Guys, may that news not get old to us or just kind of mundane. In all he does, he prospers. So in the midst of brokenness, I can prosper. Why? Because Jesus is my defender. I'm prosperous because Jesus was victorious on the cross. Amen? And so that gives us so much hope going into 2018. You want to prosper? Abide in Jesus. You want to prosper? Come to Jesus. And so ask yourself, what is success for me? It might just be obedience. It might not be climbing the chain at work or relationship goals or material goals. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's hard. There are moments where we are very tempted. I think it's Psalm 97, David is saying that he is almost jealous of the arrogant. Like he's saying, I don't get it. There's people who don't love Jesus. They're so disrespectful and don't fear God, but their lives look awesome. Like what's going on? He's tempted to almost be jealous of the arrogant. But God is saying, no, realign your perspective, your focus. You're to die to self. You being prosperous is not what the world would define as you are to be. And I do think it's interesting. I'm not very smart, so if you do the homework on the Hebrew word of the word prosper, that Hebrew word means to just be fully mature. So in all he does, he's fully mature. He's fully grown. He's strong. He's rooted. He's planted. There's permanency. It says, but the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, everyone say therefore. That's a transitional word, so I love that. So we just read a bunch of stuff. God's word is saying, however, therefore, we're going a new direction. It's saying, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so David's saying, but here's the two kinds of people. Those that fear God, those that delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on his word day and night, or you can be the wicked, and guess what? That equals you will perish. I think it was Matt Nesberg that used to say it all the time. He's an old pastor on staff with North Hills. He's doing ministry now in Spartanburg. But he always said, for people who don't love Jesus, this is as good as it gets. And for people that are in Jesus, abiding, living as a living sacrifice, this is as bad as it gets. And I remember him saying that, and that like put things in the perspective for me so much. But this last verse where it says, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There it is. There's two kinds of people. Right there, verse 6. And I love that word knows, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Maybe 2017, you didn't really feel known. You felt alone. You felt forgotten. It was a really heart-wrenching year for you. And I'm here to tell you, if you abide in Jesus, if you have received that gift of salvation, you're known. God knows you. He knows every bit of you. I think it's interesting though that how God goes with that word knows. Because if you also read through scripture, it says, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Depart from me. I never knew you. So I think it's interesting to know that there are ways that God knows. And thankfully, we're still living in 2017, about to be 18, where you can come to the Father to be truly known. But my encouragement to you, if you're in Jesus, know that you're known. God knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And anytime I think of that word perish, I think of John 3:16, the most popular verse in all the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I can't think of a better passage of scripture to be our banner going into 2018. I would love for you guys to take these questions. What's my one big takeaway? I'll tell you what, my one big takeaway in reading all of this is his delight is in the law of the Lord. I mean, I know where I find delight sometimes is so messed up, and it's so selfish, and it's so wrong. Like, so many times my delight is in if my kids would just behave. If we could just go to Taco Bell and eat off the delicious dollar menu in peace. Like, that's my delight. That's all I want to do. Like, we got in the car and I said, honey, they were being so crazy. A Taco Bell employee gave them free food to help them be quiet. Because my kids are that much full of life. I call it full of life. Because if I don't, I'll just start crying. But my delight, if my kids would just behave, then I'll be happy. If I could just have more money, or if I could just have that car, then I'll be happy. I think it was in October, I got hit. My car was parked, and a sweet lady in our church hit it. And I got this rental, and I got this brand new 2017 Jeep Grand Cherokee. And it was so nice. And I drive a 2008 Ford Focus. So this was just fun to go from the Ford Focus to a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I remember driving it, and I remember like having to guard my heart. I'm not saying you can't get giddy and enjoy the things of this life, but I could tell I was getting like happiness and delight in the things of this world. And I was like, dude, guard your heart, because in about 2 weeks, you're going back to the go-kart. So you've got to get ready that this car is going to go back to Enterprise, and you're going back to this little red clown-looking car, right? But that's my thing. Like, my delight can be in the things of this world. They're here today, gone tomorrow. My prayer for us as a church is there's a lot of us sitting. There's a lot of us sitting. Man, maybe our goal for 2018 is just to stand. It might be. Some of you guys can just go from sitting to sprinting. The Spirit can work in hearts very, very different. But man, we have too many people sitting on the sidelines. And when the church really wakes up and realizes why you were created and what your purpose is, it's going to be a game changer for this physical progression that you're going to see. I'll tell you what, it really does break my heart sometimes. And this is not to attack certain people, but anytime we have a family meeting, like Peter Hubbard's preaching at the Taylor's campus, and he's like, we have to have a family meeting. That's never a good thing. It's kind of like when we get an email and it's like, hey, I know staff meetings normally on Tuesday, but we have a mandatory one on Thursday. They're not calling us in to tell us good job. Hey, everyone's getting pay raises. Yeah, I love random uncalled staff meetings. But sometimes it really does hurt my heart when Peter is like, hey, we're going to have a family meeting. If you're a member of this church, we want you to stay. If not, you can go. And you see like 2/3 of the church just get up and leave. Like, I've joked with Ferguson with connections. That's when you need to be out in the lobby, like passing out how to become a member card to everyone when they're leaving. You know who they are. They're getting up and they're leaving. Babbitts, that's it, bro. That's what you need to do. But there's so many people where it's like they're sitting on... Now, I'm not saying if you're not a member of a church, you're sitting on the sidelines and you're in sin. No, I'm just saying there needs to be more urgency in the people of God. There needs to be more people who are not okay with sitting, and let's stand. And standing is good for your health. I have a standing desk. It helps me concentrate. I literally take a chair, I put it on my desk, and I put my laptop on it, and I stand, and it helps. It's super redneck, but it works, and it's cheap. Peter Hubbard has even tried to bribe me to buy me something because it looks so bad, but I'm happy with my chair. I'm good with it. And then some of you guys, after 2018, and you've been standing, it's time to walk. It's time to run. It's time, let's get after it. And so, man, please take this piece of paper. Ask yourself, what's my one big takeaway? Spirit, what is it that you put on my heart? And then what am I going to do about it? That's the biggest thing. After you've shared this with people, you've discussed it, you've filled it out, no better time than if you go to lunch after this. Let this be your talk. Let this be your conversation. Who do I need to share this with? Maybe there's a brother or a sister that you remember was walking and now they're sitting. Maybe their delight is in things that aren't what it should be in. And then lastly, how can I commit this to prayer? Man, I love you guys so much. I love being a part of this church. But please take the words of Scripture from Psalm 1 and ask, what needs to be altered? What needs to be changed in 2018? Good? Cool. Would you guys pray with me? God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you have given us all 66 books, God, for us to find our delight in. For us to find our hope in. God, we live in such a hopeless world. So many people are just walking around so blind and just hoping that they're going to bump into something that will fulfill them and satisfy them. And God, I know that that's true for me a lot of the time. God, help me to be rebuked by that and to remember that you are our satisfaction. Jesus, that we were planted somewhere else, but you dug us up and you planted us by streams of water so that all we do is prosper. You are such a good dad. Thank you that you do that for us. God, I just want to end in thanking you that you know us. You don't just know of us, but you know us. We're not just someone that you've heard of before or that you remember creating 32 years ago and then you just kind of let me do my thing. Like, God, you know my heart better than I do. God, thank you that you know me. Thank you that you want me to get to know you, that you have called me to something greater. God, there's so much that we can take from the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. God, I pray that you give us people that we can walk with, that are wise counsel. God, I pray for those that are here that have maybe not wanted to get any type of counsel, that you would soften their heart. God, that you would show them their pride and help them realize that happy is the man who gets wise counsel. Happy. God, happy is the man who is not negative. Happy is the man who is thankful, who is positive, and not a fake, unauthentic gratefulness, but a gratefulness knowing that they abide in Jesus. Even when the world around us is crazy, even when things are not lining up the way we want it to line up. And so, God, I love you. Thank you for the last few minutes that we had to feast on your word, verse by verse. You're really good. And I love you. God, as we respond in this one song, God, would you help us by the work of your Spirit to know how to answer some of these questions? Lord, I love you. I commit this to you. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.